Sunday, we're asking as many as possible. We're going down to right around somewhere across church in Henderson, North Carolina. It's about 2 hours north of here. We've already got the transportation secured and everything. And if you would like to travel with us, we ask that you just indicate that to us. And we would love for you to travel with us in Henderson, North Carolina. So next Sunday, we will not have physical church here in this location. We will be having church, but we won't be here in this location. So I do apologize in advance. I guess that's one of the drawbacks of being a smaller congregation, that I just can't go and we not have anybody here. And I don't ever want to ever cancel service, amen. But I believe that God has opened up that door for us for a reason, amen, that we can start reaching out a little bit more. It's Shepherd's Day for them, amen, where they celebrate their pastor. And we've been asked to speak there next Sunday. So we will give them more details, but right now we're planning to meet at the mall parking lot. Like I said, and we got a rental van, and we'll drive down and we'll come back. It's not gonna cost me anything. We ask that you just come. And if you got time, just go in, enjoy the Lord and come back. Amen. They have a very large church, so you ain't gotta worry about the COVID situation. They take temperatures. They don't play down there. They take the temperatures and everything at the door. Amen. And give you masks if you don't have them. Like I said, it's a fairly large church, hold about maybe 800-900 people, so you can really spread out if you desire and just really have a good time. Very nice facility there. Actually, my home church, amen. I remember when we built that church right before I went to college. So I'm just so grateful for the opportunity to go back in there, minister on Sunday morning. How many of you are feeling good in your spirit this morning? How many of you are feeling good in your spirit this morning? Amen, amen. So I'm not going to labor the point. We're going to get right into the word that God has given us. So, you know, for the last year, we've been working off some themes that I believe God gives us a theme each and every year. And our theme on this past year has been the theme of reimagining God. What I mean by reimagining God, that we all have come to God in a certain way or a certain place. And when we come to God in that place, we have a tendency just to know him in the place we came. In that if I came to him when I was in a time of distress, I know him as a God of who can fix distress. If I came to him in a time when I was looking for healing, then I know him of a God who fixes or who can heal. But I often ask us that sometimes we find ourselves just pigeonholed on how we know him, and that we need to expand what our definition is of him, because he's only limited because we limit him. Because he's a limited, unlimited God, and what we are limited people. So therefore, we have there is a limit to how much we can understand. And when we reach that point, we kind of have a tendency to cut it off. So as we've been working on that theme this year, we've gone through month by month. And the month of September, we've been on the month of the body. And in particular, the body, we started out with the skin. How many know the skin? The skin is probably one of your most important organs outside of your heart, but your skin is also your largest organ. And we talked about don't let it get under your skin, amen. So your skin has three different layers, and we talk about that first sub-layer of your skin that, you know, sometimes we let little things get to us, amen. So we talked about that. So then after that, we talked about it being skin deep, and on last week on the second layer of skin. And on this week, I want to go ahead and walk into the last part of that as we go forth on this day, is we want to talk with you on today as we go into, as I pick up my notes here, amen. I thank you, Brother Gabe. Amen. This place is so beautiful. Doesn't he play beautiful? Amen. Hallelujah. For somebody who's never been trained, I tell you, when God does it, he does it right. Amen. Amen. So we want to go with you. And I got a couple of different scriptures I want to hit on here on today. I want to ask you that you turn to Luke, the 22nd chapter. And we want to go to verse 31. Then I want to do 2 Corinthians 12, and I think it verse number 8 and 9. So we want Luke, the 22nd chapter, verse 31. Then we want Luke 2 Corinthians 12. 8 and 9. Then I got one more we'll read. I'm not going to ask you to turn that with Philippians 4 and 5. All right, so let me read these verses. All right, so I'm going to start off with Luke here. Luke 22nd chapter and 31st verse, and it says this. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath a desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art covenant, strengthen thy brother. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. All right, let's turn over to the next. I want to go to 2 Corinthians 12, chapter and verse 8. And it says this. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities than the power of Christ may rest upon me. And this last verse I'm going to go to, Philippians 4, 4 and 5. And it says this, 4 and 4 and then 4 and 5. And it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men that the Lord is at hand. Oh, Lord, and Father, Lord, we come to you this morning. Lord, we want to say we thank you. Lord, we thank you for these amazing people, Lord. We thank you for the amazing worship on this morning. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opening up doors for your people. Lord, I ask that your word go forth, oh God. Lord, that be nourishment to their bodies. Lord, that it be thought-provoking, that it be challenging, oh God. That it be something, oh God. Lord, they go home and they wrestle with, oh God, and say, what it is that you're asking me to do and what are you asking me to say? And Lord, I ask that you help us as we go forward, oh God, to do your will and know your way. And we ask you all these things to others in the powerful name of Jesus. For we know this one thing, we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. So if I could use for a subject this morning, as we go into our message on this morning, I want to talk to you about just enough. Just enough. So going back into the spirit of what we've been doing here, we talked about there's three different layers of your skin. And if we talk about the three different layers of your skin, you have the epidermis, the dermis, and then you have the hypodermis. Remember, the epidermis is the outermost part of your skin. That's the part that we see. And we talk about how with the epidermis that you see is actually dead. When I'm actually looking at you, I'm looking at death. I'm looking at the outward death. When I see your hair, that's death. When I see your nails, that's death. When I see the top layer of your skin, the complexion of your skin, I am actually looking at something that's dead. Amen. So then we talked about the next layer of that was the dermis. And in the dermis layer, this is where we start to find the blood vessels and the hair follicles and the sweat glands and the collagen. This is where things kind of start to come together. This is where the nerves are. And we talk about letting things get on your nerves and people bothering us and putting us in kind of thought patterns and situations. So today then we want to talk about this last layer known as the hypodermis. And in the hypodermis is where we find this thing called fat. Now, fat is one of those things I find interesting. It's kind of like nobody really wants it, but we need it. And if you don't have enough of it, you find yourself in trouble. If you have too much of it, you find yourself in trouble. So fat is one of these things that, you know, we often talk about fat as the enemy. We have saturated fat that they say is not good for you. You have unsaturated fat that does some other things for you. And all of this, we actually need fat. Now, one of the things that fat does for us, fat is very important to our bodies as part of our skin, and that what fat does is fat is a protection. Fat serves as a protection. It protects your organs. If you were to cut your body open right now and look in your organs, we will find fat all around your organs. Why? Because it acts as a so that when you bump into things that you don't destroy your heart, when you bump into things, you don't destroy your liver, when things happen by accident, that these things are not destroyed. But at the same time, we find that if you have too much of the fat, oh, come on, somebody. When you have too much of it, then it also destroys things. When you have too much of it, it crushes your liver. It crushes your heart. It sits on top of your lungs. It doesn't allow you to breathe and function the way that you should function. So I find it interesting that something that's good for me also can be bad for me if I have too much of it. Oftentimes, I know, brothers and sisters, we find ourselves in a place and time in a situation that sometimes there's things that we desire, and we desire good things, but sometimes the good thing that we have, we get too much of it, turns into a bad thing. The Bible is very clear. He tells us that what, that we are not to put anything else before God. Sometimes, you know, that can be our children. Sometimes that can be our spouse. It can be our jobs. And we desire a good thing. We desire to work so that we can take care of our family. Because the Bible said, if a man don't work, then he don't eat. We desire to take care of our children. Because the Bible said that to raise five children and not to spare the rod, and we'll spoil the child. And we used to raise them up in the way that they should go. And when they get old, that they would not depart from it. He tells us that we should take care of our parents, and that if we take care of our parents, that our days shall be what, long upon the earth. These are things that he tells us to do. But also, too much of it can be detrimental. I've seen people to the point, they do so much for their parents that their parents now can't do anything for themselves. I don't think they intended for that to be the case, but that's what happens sometimes. And to the point that something ends up that they take so much good care of them that they end up dying before they die. And it's not good when a parent has to bury their children. Amen. So then we find out there's situations that, you know, you was asking God for a child and God bless you with a child. And now that child becomes what? A little God to you, because now you put so much effort and time into the child because you're grateful for the child, but you lost focus of what was important. You lost focus of what God has said. What? Do not put anything else. Don't ever put creation in front of the Creator. You're grateful to God that you got the job, and you ask God for the job, but now you spend so much time on the job that you can't go pray in the morning. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm in the book this morning. That you don't do the things that you used to, all the things that you were doing to seek God, to have that job, to be in that situation, to be part of that. Now that he's blessed you with it, you stop doing it. When you didn't have any money, you paid tithes. Now you got more than enough. Now you don't pay no more. When God has told you to do some things, you would go out there, you would seek him, and you would do whatever God asked you to do. When you were broken, you were poor, and you were disgusted. But now you got a couple of coins, and now you forget God. See, this is why we work. What God tells us, what, that everything is in what? Moderation. Too much of anything is not a good thing. So we find that we have too much of this sublayer called fat, that what? It actually ends up hurting us. This is why we have to what? Learn to walk in God in balance. I'm a holding this board to my core. There's no question about it. But I know I grew up in a church sometimes when we did not have balance. We did not have balance in that way. We spent so much time in church that we didn't never spend any time with our families. And some of our daughters and our sons end up having babies out of wedlock. Oh, come on, somebody. Yeah, I'm going there today. I'm being pastor today. Because we spent so much time at the church living holy, but we didn't teach our young girls how to keep the dresses down and our young men how to keep the zippers zipped, because we were so much in the church. We spent all the family's money. We didn't take care of the family, even though we supposed to do our part. We live in by faith. We're supposed to do our part. But there is a balance in between there. For my first ministry starts there at my home with my family. My first ministry starts with my children. My first ministry, what good would it do that the whole church be saved and my own family go to hell? And so oftentimes this is why we get to a point that we see brothers and sisters and children, you know, they get to a point where they can leave the church, they leave. Amen. They have no connection. Why? Because they see the church as trauma than they say it's a hospital. And I don't know about you, but I would run as far away as I can from trauma. I don't want to be beat. When I have a choice that I can make a decision that's different, I'm going to make that decision. And what we find, brothers and sisters, is that not so much that the young people hate the church, but they hate the trauma that came with it. They hate the drama that was also associated with it. That what, they saw people doing one thing in the church, but then they saw them on the street doing something else. Come on, somebody. I know y'all quiet on me this morning. But he's asking us what? That there is a balance between the two. And as you know, that there's a delicate balance in your body. So therefore, when we go to the doctor, they check this thing called our BMI, our body mass index. And they tell us if you're up on this number, then what? You have too much. That you have too much that it can be harmful to your body. But then they check you on the other end and say if this number's too low, then you don't have enough. So that if something happens, then your body can go into shock and you can't be protected. I'm here to tell you today that God has allowed some of the fat things in our life to be there as a protector. See, I'm reminded of Paul. The reason we read that verse with Paul finds himself and said, God, I got a situation. God, I got a problem in my life. I got something that I struggle with. I got something, Lord Jesus, that I just cannot get out of. It seems like every time I go in this place, I ask this for them to do this, and I go here and I go there. And Lord, next thing I know, I find myself failing in this same area time and time again. And what does God probably do? Paul prays to God. The Bible said not once, not twice, but three times. I find it funny that we have three layers of skin. We find that he told Peter that what? For the crow crop, three times. It's something about that three, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's something about that three in one that provides balance. See, the thing about the three, when you have all three of them, see, when you got two, you can balance something pretty good. But when you got that third part, the Bible said that our three-strand cord is not easily broken. See, that's why in your marriage you have what? You have the husband, you have the wife, but then if you have the Holy Ghost there in the middle, it's not easily broken. That all these things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Mm-hmm. So as long as you have those three in combination, as long as you have those three are present, there you are what? That you have a cord that's not easily broken. So Paul prays for God. He said, Lord, I am suffering in my body. Lord, I have this thing that I'm dealing with, and I've prayed for it three times, and what do he remind him? He said that my grace is sufficient. So what is he telling him? In other words, I see what you're doing. I see where you've been. I see what you're going through. But I'm here to tell you today that what? My grace is sufficient. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. So what do I equate the grace to? I equate that grace to being that fat. Amen. Because God don't give us too much grace. Because if he gave us too much grace, then we wouldn't do anything. We would just go out here and do whatever we wanted to do, but whoever we wanted to do it, however we wanted to do it, for however long we wanted to do it, and we'll say, but Lord, forgive us. Come on, y'all know we would. As we used to say, those sayings said, you give them an inch, they're going to take a mile. So there is a point where God's grace runs out. But the grace is what? Sufficient if you're what? You're making the mark. If you're going towards it, if you're striving. If you fall on the way, on the road there, it's part of the journey. But if you just fall in, you just sitting over there on the side and doing your own thing, see, that's different. See, the Bible said, what? Don't tempt the Lord thy God. Remember when Jesus was being what tried by the devil, he was out there, and he said, why don't you turn these stones to bread? And he said, man shall live by what? Bread alone, but what? Every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Then he told him, he said, why don't you just jump from here? And he said, I do not tempt the Lord thy God. See, this is what I'm reminded. We don't tempt the God. We don't intend to fall. We don't intend to be bumped. We don't intend to be bruised. But I don't know about you, but I am glad there is some fat in my body to protect my organs. When I do get bumped unintentionally, when I do get bruised unintentionally, when I do fall from time to time unintentionally, and in the body of Christ, that's called grace. So what I'm talking about today is that what we got just enough of it. We got just enough grace. And the thing is, this is the interesting thing about grace. You cannot measure your grace against mine. Just like you can't measure your fat against mine. I got a little bit more fat on my body than I probably should have, so I got to work on that. Amen. But nonetheless, the thing is that I'm almost 6'3". So according to my body mass index and according to the size of the muscles in my body, there is a certain amount of fat I should have. Now, if I put my son up here and put him beside me, my son might be 3 feet tall. He cannot carry the same fat that I carry and be healthy. Why? Because he's not grown to the level of maturity that I have. So I can handle more. I need more. Why? Because I'm going to do more than he's going to do. Are y'all seeing the metaphor, y'all? You seeing how it's connecting here? So sometimes what you find, brothers and sisters, we cannot be measuring ourselves against somebody else because you don't know about their walk. You don't know where they've been. You don't know what they struggle with. You don't know what kind of trauma and drama that they see in their life, that God has given them a little bit more of a buffer than he gave you. So that's nothing to be jealous of, because I'm here to tell you, you don't know what they've been through to get the buffer that they got. Are y'all with me this morning? So what I understand is that what? The Bible said what? Save yourself from this underworld generation, that his grace is sufficient towards you. So I can't measure myself against you. I can't measure myself against you. But all I can do is what? We walk this walk together. That is what? It's not equal giving. It's equal sacrifice. This is why the Bible tells us what? To give 10%. So if you make $100,000 versus somebody who makes $10,000, the pain is still the same. Is the giving equal? No. But it's not about that. It's about what? Saying God is an equitable God. See, you might have come from a family where you had things laid out for you. Some people struggle to get to that point. So maybe they did some things along the way. Maybe they failed and they did some stuff that they're not very happy about or very proud of. And you can't sit on your high horse and say, well, I never did that. I don't know why you did that. Why you over here angry with us? Well, maybe if you were in that situation, maybe you did the same thing. Maybe you would have made the same choice. So you see what I'm saying? This is why God, what he does the judging. The Bible says this, don't judge unless what ye be judged by the same measure. I know people walk around, they say all the time, it's probably one of the most misquoted verses in the Bible, thanks to Tupac, that only God can judge me. That's a lie. Read all of it. It said, only God can judge you. He said, judge, or be ye judged, what? According to the same measure. Meaning that this, if you judge me using this ruler, then I get to judge you by the same ruler. If you measure me using this stick, then I get to measure you with the same stick. So let's not get that twisted, amen. But what that's still what a judgment. So what I do is I put myself on the mercy of God because I don't know what measuring stick that he's going to use. He told me that this Bible is my measuring stick, that the work of this word, and that what we'll be walking towards the perfecting of the saints. Perfecting with an ING, which means that it's in progress. If you were perfect, you wouldn't be here anyway. You see what I'm saying? I'm not perfect. I probably did something this morning I shouldn't have did. So I ask for forgiveness daily. Why? Because I'm trying to work out my soul salvation. He said, work out your own soul salvation. So there's what? A balance. The Bible puts it like this. He said, lay aside every weight that so what? Easily beset you. See, some things, brothers and sisters, it's not sin. It's just weight. Some things is not that you are in sin. It's just that what? This is enough to pull you off. This is enough to set you to the side. This is enough for you not to be going exactly as fast as you should be going. How many of you ever wore a weighted vest before? I used to exercise a whole lot, and I got a weighted vest. And a weighted vest, it doesn't stop me from going where I'm going, but it does certainly slow me down. You know, in some cases, I put just enough tension on to what? To keep me under enough stress to cause me to work a little harder. And see, some of us are walking around and we've decided that we picked up weight. That means we picked up some things that God didn't desire for us to have, but he's given us grace to carry. Some of us, that's us worrying about family members. The Bible tells us already that if you worry about something, does it add one cubit to your height? Some of us are worried about situations that we don't control. Some of us find ourselves worried financially about things and this and that. I'm here to tell you that the Bible said, he never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. So if you're in the will of God, he has a way of escape if we listen. So what? He says, take aside every weight that so easily besets you. So those weights do what? They throw your balance off. So if you have weights on you, the weights throw your balance off and they slow you down. We talk about just enough. So we serve the God of what? Just enough. We often say it that way. He's an on-time God. So I don't know about you, but I want to serve the God of just enough. That he gives me just enough power to be able to attack this. He gives me just enough knowledge to be able to do that. He gives me just enough faith to be able to walk in this door. He gives me just enough faith to be able to speak to this person. He gives me just enough faith and he gives me enough, just enough money to be able to pay my bills. Why? Because if he gave me too much, I will walk away. And if he didn't give me enough, I will walk away. Do you see what I'm saying? So we serve a God of what? Just enough. It's that thing, as my wife used to say, we used to talk about some things and that I was going through. My wife said, sometimes they just put a carrot in front of you. And y'all often seen that cartoon of the donkey and the carrot, right? And that carrot is what? They got the carrot on a stick, on a string, and they holding that carrot out in front of the donkey. And what does that donkey do? He's walking towards that carrot. And the further he walks, he's never progressing, actually getting any closer to the carrot. But it's what? Always this illusion that he's getting closer. And that's how the enemy tricks us. Because see, the difference between what the enemy does and what God does, we will get an opportunity one day that we're going to have the carrot. He told us that what? If we will hold on to our faith, if we will walk the walk, if we will talk the talk, that what? One day that he will grant us our eternal reward. We're going to get our reward, and we're doing it what? Just in faith. So I'm here to tell you today that we serve a just-in-time God, that we serve a God of just enough. Why? So I'm here to encourage you today that if you feel like you can't make it, I'm telling you, you got just enough. I'm here to tell you today, if you're ready to give up, no, I'm telling you, don't give up because you got just enough. I'm here to tell you today that if you walk in by faith and not by sight, you got just enough. That God shows you just enough of what you need to keep you going. He shows you just enough of what you need to see to keep you going. He shows you just enough of the vision sufficient just to keep you going. He shows you just enough of what your children are going to be so that you wouldn't want to quit on yourself. He shows you just enough of your job and where you're going to be so that you won't walk out on them, man. He gives you just enough to be able to go forward. He gives you just enough to show you that miracle if you can believe it, amen. He gives you just enough to hold on to your family. He gives you just enough to believe in your husband and to believe in your wife and to believe in your children, to believe in the mission. He gives you just enough to continue to walk the walk. He gives you just enough to walk in faith. He gives you enough, just enough to believe on him. But we serve a God of just enough. That what? Not that he only has enough, but he gives us just enough to keep us going. Just enough to let you know that I got you. Just enough. And he serves us with just enough. So I'm here to tell you today, as your body and you work on your body, just know that, you know what? Don't get too skinny. Because you got to keep some fat in there. Because sometimes life throws us blows. The Bible says it like this. It rains on the just as well as what? The unjust. And I often tell people this. What is the difference between raining on the just and the unjust? Is that you and I are in the rain, but we have umbrellas. I'm in the rain, but he shields me through the rain. I see the trouble that people have. I see some folks suffering. I'm not blind or oblivious to any of that stuff. But what God has done is what? He's put a fence of protection around me. How do I know that? Because he reminds me of Job. He told that the Job, the Satan said, I would do whatever I want to do with Job if you didn't have that fence around him. And God gave him permission. So do you not know the enemy cannot mess with you unless they have permission? Didn't say that they weren't going to come. The Bible says that with no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Didn't say that the weapon was not going to be formed. He just said it won't go work. And I want to remind you of that today, that we serve a God of just enough. Just enough, just enough. We serve a God of just enough, amen. So I hope this morning that this something that was said on this morning, something that was heard on this morning, something that I've said that would change your mind. Let's say, God, I know I came in here today on my wit's end. I came in here today wondering, Lord, is this going to work out? Lord, you opened up this door, and I walked in this door, and it seemed like this was a situation. I don't know what I'm going to do. But I'm here to tell you today that we serve a God of just enough. You came in here today. He gave you just enough of his spirit. He gave you enough, just enough of his worship. There was just enough of you being touched in prayer. There was just enough what to allow you to come back and continue to build and grow. I tell people all the time, when you're working out and you're lifting weights and these things, what happens is you cannot go too light, because if you don't do enough weight, you don't do anything. If you do too much weight, you don't do anything. But you got to do what? Just enough weight, just enough stress on the body to cause it to grow. And I'm here to tell you today, brothers and sisters, what God is doing, he's allowing just enough stress for you to grow. Because if not, you would think you did. And he said, what? No flesh would tarry in his sight. And if he gave you too much, then you would just quit. But it's just enough. And this is why the Bible tells us this, that what? If you have it, you can handle it. That will put no more on you than you can bear. So what? He's just a God of what? Just enough. How many of you know, you raise your hand and say, God, it's been tough, but you know it's just enough. How many of you know it's just been just enough that to make your faith grow? You know, I've walked in some new situations, some new things, and some things have been tough. And it's not so point to the point that I want to quit, but it's been just enough. Just enough to remind me that what? Yeah, I got to pray. Just enough to say, you know what? I can't go in here and just think I know it all. Just enough to say, okay, God, I know I need you. And because I'm smart, but I need your wisdom on this. Just enough, Lord, because I don't know my way to navigate around these people and the way they talk and the way they do things and the way they understand things. Just enough. Just enough. But I know what? The weapons are formed, but he said what? They wouldn't prosper. That these weapons would not prosper. Would you stand on your feet on this morning as we close out this morning? Would there be anyone who would like to have any prayer? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.